Sir? Devon swung around and again greeted Joseph, who apparently could still enter rooms without a sound. The butler's eyes held pity and compassion. No doubt for the ass Devon had made out of himself with honey. Your father was called downtown for an unexpected meeting. He left instructions to notify you of the delay and has rearranged his schedule to see you in his home office at 1 o'clock sharp. How diplomatic of Joseph to make it sound like Harrison was moving heaven and earth to accommodate his son. Devon made sure not one facial muscle twitched. Thank you, Joseph. And could you hunt down a razor? I forgot to pack mine. Of course, sir. I'll have it delivered to your room. As the butler slipped out, Devon poured more coffee down his throat, turning back to the window as he processed his father's strategy, making himself purposely unavailable, thereby letting his adversary squirm like hooked bait. He squinted at the sunlight shimmering off the cascading water. Too bad Harrison had forgotten how much he'd taught his son. The delay was actually perfect. An afternoon meeting meant additional time to contact the board and major shareholders. It gave Eric that much more time to investigate what brought this on. Devon called his secretary and had her switch the corporate jet to 4 o'clock. He'd land in Teterboro at 6:30. The engagement party started at 8. It'd be tight, but Sally assured him the weather report for New York was clear. He texted Nicole the change in plans.
Dev?
Francine said quietly from the doorway. He looked over and suppressed a grunt as he faced a younger version of himself standing beside her. The resemblance hadn't been as apparent in pictures or flashes of him walking past during video calls. Faced with direct eye contact, the boy glanced at the rug.
This is my son, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Devon automatically stepped forward, hand outstretched.
This is your Uncle Devon.
Small hairs rose on the back of his neck. Uncle.
I have 30 days to find a place, pack for both of us, move, and still coordinate an expedited restoration of the Wickham Art. She petered out and sipped some caffeine, fighting the cloud of doom. Breathe from your gut. Gretch morphed into her commanding personal trainer mode. You'll get through this. Give me some of those leads and I'll call in between doing payroll and receivables.
Thanks. I'll really owe you.
Hannah handed over a third of the stack, but her relief was short-lived. Shoving any of her work onto someone else, even her best friend, was proof she was drowning. She'd been brought up to finish her chores, fix her own problems, and never complain. Period. Any place that's wheelchair accessible and takes boots. She should be ashamed that at the ripe old age of 30, she was bunking with her maternal great-aunt and Aunt Millie's ancient tabby. But Moore and Morrow Restoration was still in its infancy. Every penny that didn't go toward Millie's meds and in-home care went straight back into the company. The Wickham Project took precedence over protests and media interviews. As if reading her mind, Gretch tossed the red notice back.
How did it go over at the Wickhams yesterday?
I told you, we won't know the full extent of damages until we clean the soot off. Gretch folded her impressively toned arms, quite a feat with the clunky bones.
I'll rephrase. How did it go?
Damn the curse that made redheads blush this easily. It all came down to Devon and those 10 months of soul-encompassing love so long ago. Why did that moment and that man still haunt her?
It was weird, she admitted.
Simply walking into his house had brought back a tsunami of memories she'd buried long ago, and they'd kept her on edge all day. Even after 8 hours of hauling art from the smoke-filled gallery down to a sitting room they'd used to pack and crate, the jumbled emotions had kept her tossing and turning last night as much as the eviction notice.
Was there any sign of your guy?
Devon. And he's not my guy.